And we're holding on Bay's Owen Bay's seven lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Ehei Noe Nozir, that if a person says, I will be Noe, which means beautiful, meaning in other words that he's going to beautify himself with his long hair, then Nozir, then he becomes a Nozir as a result of that. And we said yesterday, actually, that there was an explanation from Rabbi Avraham Minahor, who says that the Lashon that he said was actually Ehei Noe Nozir, I will be a beautiful Nozir. So, but apparently the Gemara is assuming that he just said the word Noe. So the question is, the question is, V'duma and Noe lefon of the mitzvahs. How do we know that the word Noe, like this one, he says, Ehei Noe, I will be beautiful. How do we know that it means that I would be beautiful as far as being a Nozir? Maybe he means that he's taking the promise on himself that he will be beautiful before Hashem in mitzvahs. Kavitanya, as in fact we learn in the Braisa, that when the Pasuk says, Zeh Kevi Van Veyu, this is my God, we say in the Shira Sayam, and I, one meaning of Van Behu is, and I will make him beautiful. So we learn in a Braisa, it means, and not in the front of the mitzvahs. It means that a person should be saying, I will be beautiful before Hashem with mitzvahs. So usually the expression in other places in Shas is, Kis Noe the front of the mitzvahs, be beautiful before Hashem with mitzvahs. In fact, Chagoyis Habach changes that. Well, Chagoyis Habach changes it to Es No Elafanav, which also means I will be. Whatever the case, it means, for example, Es Elafanav Sukkah Noah, that we say we accept on ourselves that we will make a beautiful sukkah. We won't just be limit ourselves to the bare minimum. We'll make it beautiful in that it's that we're making it more besrachos within the dinim of sukkah. Lulav Noah, a beautiful lulav, tzitzis Noah, I'll make beautiful tzitzis, echter the fun of Sefer Torah Noah, I'll write for Hashem a beautiful Sefer Torah, v'ach rechenu b'shiroi noyim, and I'll wrap it in nice silks and a nice mantle. So the point is, in other words, when he says, Ehei Noah, what makes us say that he's referring, in fact, to Nezirus? Maybe he's referring to one, to some other aspect of these mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel answers, we're talking about that he's holding on to his hair, Va'oma and Noah, and he says that I will be beautiful. So now he's showing with that he means to, that he's saying that a mitzvah that has to do with my hair, is something that, so that's what he means by a hey Noah. So now the Rosh points out that it, here, unlike, now, when we had before in the Mishnah, when we said, Ehei, Harei's a Nozir, and we learned yesterday that it means that a Nozir is walking by in front of him, here, actually, that wouldn't work. So the Rosh and Tosfos say that the difference is, when he says, Ehei, that's not even a complete sentence. The Rosh says that when he says, Ehei, so then we asked yesterday, could it mean, definitely though, it means something about me. I will be such and such. So now the only question is he talking about a Nozir, or is he talking about Nezir, or so is he talking about a fast? With a Nozir walking by in front of him, it means that he wants his goof to be like that of the Nozir. When it comes to the word Noah, the question is, sure, Noah means I will be beautiful. But what exactly does it mean? Does it mean that does he mean that he's going to be beautiful, that I myself am going to be beautiful in Nozir, or am I going to be beautiful as far as mitzvahs? So the fact that a Nozir is walking in front of him does not, in other words, the Rosh says the suffix really is in the word Noah. So once he's holding on to his hair, then he shows that he means, what kind of Noah do I mean? The mitzvah that involves my hair. In fact, the Rosh goes on to say, it wouldn't even require, unlike we learned yesterday in the end, as far as the Ehei, that it requires not only that the Nozir is walking in front of him, but also that Ka'oma Beliboy, also that he's thinking in his mind the word Nozir, here that wouldn't even be necessary. The fact that he's holding on to his hair and that he says Ehei Noah, that altogether makes it that absolutely there's no other way of explaining it. But on the other hand, if it was just that but if he wasn't holding on to his hair, then fakir, even if he thinks in his mind with the word Noah that I will be a Nozir, then it doesn't count because it's not a valid declaration of Nazirus. Tosfos says basically the same idea, but they mention the point that the word ehei noa is a complete sentence. So as opposed to ehei was just a partial sentence. So when he says ehei and there's a nozer walking in front of him, then yeah, we can fill in that it means ehei, I will be like that person. But when he says ehei noa, which is a complete sentence, then we need to know what kind of noa, and the only way to do that is for him to be actually holding on to his hair when he says that. Okay. So the Gemara asks. Now, the question is, nizira milsa da avera. The question isn't being a nazir is an avera? Because we learned in Nedarim many times that the person is really not supposed to make a neder. And the same thing as far as nizirus, the Gemara is going to go on to say that it's really, in many cases, not really appropriate to take on a neder of nizirus. We're going to have an armasefta similar to the way we had in Nedarim, that sometimes people would take on nizirus for frivolous reasons. So you have, for example, the story with the younger man, with Shimon HaTzadik, who took it on for the right reasons. We're going to have that later on. We're going to have that later on in our parak. But still, on the whole, of course, most people are not doing that. So nazirus is really a matter of avera. Are we saying then that we should call it something beautiful? How can we say that the word noa, we were talking about yesterday, that the word noa means beautiful in the sense of grows the hair long and beautiful, but if it's an avera to do that, how can we, as a matter of Torah, call it noa and say that the word noa can constitute a valid acceptance of nazirus? Both Tosfos and the Rosh bring a different alternate girsa. The word is not da'aveira with a resh, but rather da'avida, which means something that's usually done. And so therefore they explain that an alternate way of explaining the Gemara is nizirus something that really should be done, that he should be doing it. And then there's one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Azriel, wrote a Pirush on Nazir, which is used a lot when people learn this Masechta. He says that actually the Gemara may not be asking a question, but rather making a statement of fact. So yes, Nazirus is milsa da'avida, Ra'aminam le'noah. It is in fact a thing that is commonly done, and we do in fact call him Noah for it. But again, according to the Rosh and Tosfos, it's really a question. And the answer according to them is yes. And according to Rabbeinu Azriel, you don't have the yes, because according to him, we're not asking the question and answering it. But according to everybody else, the Gemara is saying, yes. Da'afilu l'Rabbi Lazar HaKafo. You should know that even according to Rabbi Lazar HaKafo, the Amon Nazir Chote, where he says, as we're going to have a couple of times in our parak, or in later parakim, we're going to have a number of times in our Masechta that Rabbi Lazar HaKafo says a Nazir is considered a Chote. We touched on it in the Dorim as well. The Pasuk says about a Nazir who became Tomei, the Pasuk says on him, V'chiper olav v'asher chota al nafesh. The Kohen should make a kapara for him for the fact that he sinned against his soul. So in what way did he sin? What did he do wrong? So one explanation is that he became Tomei, and that's why he's bringing these karbanos. But Rabbi Lazar HaKafo says that actually he's a chote in the fact that he deprived himself of wine. In other words, as we've learned a bunch of times in Nedarim, if a person feels that he needs to deprive himself of something, let him do it without a neder. We talked about towards the end, we talked about a sicha, where the Rebbe analyzes the different degrees in that. You could have a person who feels the need to make a neder. You can have a higher level where he doesn't need to make a neder. He just asks himself in it. And you have the highest level of all where he knows how to use the resource for Kedusha and doesn't need to deprive himself of it at all. So Rabbi Lazar HaKafo says that a nazir is a chote, but the Gemara says, Hani mila gaben nazir tomei. That would only primarily apply to a nazir tomei. So when he became tomei and he has to start over as nazirus, the id, the boy mister, since he has to drop all the days that he did until now, they don't count towards his nazirus, and he has to start all over again. The Omer Rachmanav Ayom Rishonim Yiflu Ki Tomei Nizra, as in fact the pasuk says, that the first days, the earlier days that he counted until he became tomei, will fall away because his crown of his hair became tomei. So therefore, so we say Hosam Hu. So that in that case, Rabbi Lazar HaKafo calls him a Chote Dilma Osi Lemever Al Nazirus, because he may be over on his nazirus. because the Nezirus is going to last longer than expected. So therefore, he may be over on it again. He may be over on one or another of the Yisurim of the Nazir. he may even regret the fact that he ever took his Nezirus in the first place. So that's in the story of Shimon HaTzadik and the Bachar. So we say that there Shimon HaTzadik was happy with him. He says, since he accepted it, L'shem Shamayim, then we know he's not going to regret it, even though in this case, inadvertently, somehow he became Tomei. But with a regular Nazir, we don't know that that's the case. So there's a higher likelihood that he's going to regret it or that he's going to be over on his Nezirus. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar HaKafka calls him a Choyt. Avol Nazir Tahor. But when it comes to a Nazir Tahu who successfully goes through his Nezirus and brings his Korbanos, so Lav Choyte Kori Bey, Rabbi Elazar HaKafka would not call him, Rabbi Elazar HaKafka would not call him a Choyte. Now, Tosfos asks the question that in various other places in Shas, where it brings the statement of Rabbi Elazar HaKafka, it does seem to say that, in fact, he is talking about even a Nazir who successfully completed his Nezirus, that Rabbi Elazar HaKafka calls him a Choyte. So what are we saying over here that it applies only to one who became Tomei? The context of the Pasuk, by the way, is talking about one who became Tomei, but still, in other places... The Gemara seems to assume that just the fact that he took on Nezirus and deprived himself of wine is enough to call him a Choyte. Well, then the question is, again, so why are we calling him Noah over here? But the question is, in other words, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Elazar HaKafka's statement only applies to a Nazir Tomei, but in other places in Shas, the implication is that it applies to a Nazir Tahor as well. So Tosfos answers, it's true. Rabbi Elazar HaKafka does consider him a Choyte regardless, but at least if he does his Nezirus successfully, if he actually went through it successfully without becoming Tomei, yes, there's a bit of a chet involved. But the mitzvah that he took on Nezirus, which after all is a mitzvah, there's actually the Rambam lists altogether 10 mitzvahs that apply to the Nazir. So he's fulfilling a number of mitzvahs. So that outweighs the chet that we're talking about in it. Therefore, we have a reason to call him Noah. In other places in the Gemara, that point is not relevant, so therefore we're focusing more on the fact that a point of Rabbi Elazar HaKafka is a chet regardless. But in our Gemara, we're trying to figure out how we can call him Noah, so at least with a Nazir Tahor, the fact that he successfully did his Nezirus and wasn't over on it at all, that outweighs the bit of the Aveda that's involved in becoming a Nazir. Whereas if you became Tomei, then you don't even have that. Okay, so that's the answer how we can call him Noah. Next, the Gemara says, Hareini Kozeh. Now, another case we said in the Mishnah is, and by the way, Tosfos points out earlier, now, we had so far two different things. We had, when he says, hey, then he becomes a Nazir, we said the necessary prerequisite is that a Nazir is walking in front of him. And we said in the Gemara also that he's thinking in his mind, in fact, that he plans to become a Nazir. Because, as the Rosh points out a little further on, otherwise, for example, even if he says, I'm going to be like this person, maybe he means I'm going to be like him in some other way. Maybe it means I'm going to be rich like him. Maybe it means I'm going to be famous like him. So in the case of a hey, we said there has to be a Nazir going in front of him, and that he's thinking that he's going to actually become a Nazir, whereas with a hey Noah, we said it's not necessary for a Nazir to be in front of him. All that's necessary is he's holding on to his hair. And we said he doesn't even have to think the word Nazir in his mind. Tosfos says that is why the Mishnah divided them up in two. We see in the Mishnah, we learned, Ha'omer Ehei Harei Zeh Nazir. And also, if he says Ehei Noah, then Nazir. So why does the Mishnah split them up? Why not just say Ehomer Ehei or Ehei Noah? Then he's a Nazir. So now we see the answer, because those two involve two different scenarios. One is that a Nazir is walking in front of him, and the other one is that he's holding on to his hair when he says it. So the Gemara continues. When the Mishnah said, another example where you could become a Nazir is when he says, Hareini Kozeh, I will be like this person. So the question is, Nehi Nami Yitofus B'Sa'arai, granted, yes, he's holding on to his hair, Hareini Kozeh Loi Omar. But on the face of it, he did not say Hareini Kozeh. Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, a bunch of the Mepharshim ask on here, what do you mean? He didn't say Hareini Kazeh. He actually says that. He says the words Hareini Kazeh. That's the Mishnah quoted him saying those words. So in fact, Tosfos says that seems to be a mistake. How can the Gemara be saying Hareini Kazeh like Omar when it says it explicitly in the Mishnah? A number of the Mepharshim on the side, Hagosmar, Rav Ransburg and others say that maybe the word in the Gemara is not supposed to be kozeh, but rather bozeh, with this. Kozeh would mean like this, bozeh would mean with this. That's the question. On the face of it, he didn't say Hareini bozeh. So even if he's holding, and so that's the Gemara is asking, even if he's holding on to his hair, what do you mean Hareini bozeh? I am in this. I am in this what? And he didn't say Hareini, or just the opposite. Maybe if he said Hareini bozeh, then fine. But the Mishnah says he says Hareini kozeh. I am like this, like who? And the answer is again, Omar Shmuel can show you Nazir over the front of. Again, the answer is that a Nazir was going in front of him. So kozeh, like this, means that I'm going to be like this one. Nevertheless, though, the point is that the Gemara was assuming that even Hareini Kazeh is not enough, even if he's holding on to his hair. So now it means that a Nazir was walking in front of him. So Tosfos says that actually he wouldn't even need to be holding on to his hair. The Rosh points out that after all, saying Hareini Kazeh, it could conceivably mean I will be like this person in some other way. The Rosh says like this, the Chiddush is, you have to ask, if he's holding on to his hair and a Nazir is walking in front of him and he says Hareini Kazeh, of course he's a Nazir, what's the Chiddush? And the answer is, even so, you might have thought that maybe he means Hareini Kazeh, I want to be like this person in some other way. He's rich, I plan to be rich. He's whatever, I plan to be whatever. But the combination of all these things makes him, a Nazir.
He could have had in mind money. But he's the one who knows.
He's the one who knows. But still, again, we said before, you have to have an actual, there still has to be an actual declaration that constitutes Nazir. So if he says Hareini Kozeh, and there's a Nazir going in front of him, then that's enough. That makes him a Nazir. So Tosfos says that means he wouldn't even need to be holding on to his hair for that to work. Just he sees the Nazir going by and says Hareini Kozeh, and like before, also he's thinking in his mind that it means that I'll be a Nazir, then that's in fact what it means. It doesn't require Tosfos Pesach.
The word bozeh, does that make sense in Pshat?
Bozeh would mean in this, or with this.
Yeah, but...
So Hareini Bozeh...
Nazir walking by, bozeh is talking...
Well, that's what the Gemara was assuming, that maybe we're talking about he's holding on to his hair, but if he said Hareini Bozeh, fine, but he said... If he's saying Hareini Kozeh on the face of it,
That's good.
Yeah, so... But yeah. Hareini Bozeh on the face of it wouldn't... That's the thing. You have the different Gersois over here, and again, according to... Hagosma Rav Ransburg points out that an earlier prince of the Gemara, it did in fact say Bozeh, not Kozeh. So the question would be then, in other words, that if he didn't say the word Hareini Bozeh, I will be a Nazir with this, which, yeah, holding on to his hair would mean with this. He was saying Hareini Kozeh, I will be like this. So the question is then what good does it do? I will be like this, but like who? And the answer is a Nazir is walking in front of him, and therefore he means I'm going to be like that guy.
Right, so the Kozeh, I understand in Pshat that it means if there's a guy walking by who's another, but when you say Bozeh, does also indicate...
So yeah. Bozeh would have meant that the Gemara is assuming that Bozeh would mean with this, and maybe if he's holding on to his hair and saying Bozeh, then that would be enough. But the question was that the Mishnah didn't say that he said Bozeh. So yeah, it would come out, in other words, the point of the Gemara's Hava Amina, maybe Bozeh would be better. Well, not really better. In the Hava Amina, the Gemara was assuming that Bozeh would be better because he's actually holding on to his hair and saying, I will be with this, meaning I will be a Nazir involving my hair. But Kozeh, on the face of it, wouldn't. And the answer is when there's a Nazir going in front of him, then it's the other way around. The Nazir going in front of him means that Kozeh now has a meaning, means I will be like that guy. Bozeh, he would have to be holding on to his hair, Rapashkus, for it to be a Nazir.
So if he has the word Bozeh, he passes a Nazir.
If he sees Bozeh and passes a Nazir, nothing's going to happen because, I will be a Nazir with this. What does that mean? Yeah.
Okay.
Next, the Gemara says, Hareini Misalsal. The Mishnah had said another example that he could become a Nazir is if he says the words Hareini Misalsal, which means we said yesterday I'll curl and play around with my hair. So that's the Gemara says, Mimai Dehadein Silsol Saira. So how do we know, where do we see that the word silsol refers to hair? So we have the example we mentioned yesterday. We find that the maidservant of Rebbe said to a certain man, where she saw him playing around with him, curling his hair, and she said to him, how long are you going to be curling around and playing around with your hair? So we see, in other words, that silsol means that. And in fact, like I said yesterday, the Gemara in a few places says that the Chachamim didn't even know what the word meant until they heard Amsa Debei Rebbe say that, and now they knew. However, the Gemara asks, Ema Torah. But by the way, Rebbe himself says, the Gemara in Baba Kama, where Rebbe says, in Eretz Yisrael, why would you bother speaking Lashon Sursi, which is a dialect of Aramaic that many Jews spoke in Eretz Yisrael, if you want to either speak Lashon Kodesh or speak Greek? Those are the two prestigious languages in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashtus, in other words, the point would be that most of the Chachamim of Rebbe's time spoke Aramaic in their day-to-day language, but in Rebbe's house, they spoke Lashon Kodesh, and therefore even his maidservant becomes familiar with less common words in Lashon Kodesh. Anyway.
I thought you're not allowed to speak Lashon Kodesh. What are you talking about?
Well, when they started reviving Hebrew about 150 or so years ago, the Rebbe Rashab and various other Gdolei Yisrael were very against it because the idea that they're going to be using it for mundane purposes. But in Rebbe's times, you know, Rebbe himself is going to be using it for purposes of Kedusha and his family as well. And I guess Rebbe felt, Rebbe holds in that Gemara and Baba Kama, that in his times, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael were still on a high enough level that they could. The fact is, during the time of the first Beis Mikdash, no question about it, they spoke Lashon Kodesh. The entire Tanakh almost all of Tanakh is written in Lashon Kodesh. That was where we have conversations and things that are recorded that they spoke in Lashon Kodesh. In later times, we say maybe people are not on the level to be using it.
That's not a question. The question is, halachically, is it allowed or it's not allowed to speak Lashon Kodesh? That's the question.
You have to be using it for purposes of Kedusha.
What do you mean you have to use it? So it's not allowed other than for purposes of Kedusha.
But if you're in Rebbe's household, or if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and
I'm not asking in Rebbe's household. I'm asking the halacha. What's the halacha?
The halacha is that you're allowed to. There's no actual halacha anywhere that says you're not allowed to use Lashon Kodesh for mundane purposes. It's not appropriate to, you know, and that's why the Rebbe Rashab was against it, was against them reviving modern Hebrew and taking Lashon Kodesh and turning it into modern Hebrew.
The Rebbe Rashab was against the creation of Israel or people
that's
living
also,
in Israel even.
That's true also. He wasn't against living in
Israel.
He was not against living in Eretz Yisrael at all, just the opposite. He founded a yeshiva there in Hebron, yeshiva Torah Semes. He was against political Zionism, but that's a discussion for another time. Let's go on. The Gemara asked, Ema Torah. The question is, still, the word misalsel could also mean to delve into Torah. Dichtiv salsaleho usurein amecha. As the Pasuk says, delve into it, turn it over, like in Pirkei Avos, hafach bavafachba, usurein amecha, and the Torah will exalt you. So maybe when the person says Hareni Misalsil, it means that he's accepting on himself that he's going to delve into Torah and he's going to learn Torah ba'amkos. And the answer is again, Omer Shmuel, Hachanami Shetopus Besarei. Again, Shmuel says we're talking about that he's holding on to his hair, so therefore it's clear that he means Hareni Misalsil in connection with his hair. Okay. Similarly, the Gemara says when he said Hareni Mechalkel, so we said Hareni Mechalkel also constitutes a neder of Nezirus. So we may the Hoden Kilkel, Sairehu. Again, how do we know the word Kilkel refers to hair? Kedikan. So we have a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah goes through various, we know that when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, there's minimum amounts of each kind of thing that a person is chayav for carrying. If in general, if a person carries less than these shiurim, then he's potter. It's still also for him to do, but he's potter from chatos or whatever the other consequences are of Chilul Shabbos. And so the Mishnah goes through a bunch of different things, explaining what the minimum amounts for are each one of them. And one of them is sid. If a person carries out on Shabbos plaster, Rabbi Yehuda Omer could be, so you have a few different opinions, and one of them is Rabbi Yehuda Omer could be loss of kilkul. Rabbi Yehuda says it would have to be enough plaster to plaster kilkul. So the idea is you have a woman in particular will have hair on her temples by the sides of her head, about where a man has his payas, that she wants to remove. So she would put plaster on it, and eventually, like you have nowadays, like when you're waxing. So a similar concept, so you'd put plaster on it, and eventually the plaster would dry, and you'd pull it off, and the hair would come with it. So Rabbi Yehuda said that's the minimum amount of plaster that for most people would be considered useful, and therefore a person would be chayev for carrying it on Shabbos. But Omar Rav Bas Tzida, and Rav said that's what we're referring to, is we're referring to the hair on the temples, or Bas Tzida actually would mean a little lower down on the cheeks. Whatever the case, the point is that so therefore we see that the word kilkul is associated with hair. So now the growth of hair. So now when he says hareni makalkul, it means that he's saying I will grow my hair. The question is ema mezan aniye. On the other hand, the word kilkul also means to support poor people. So maybe he means that. Maybe he means he's taking on himself a declaration that he'll support poor people. Does he find that Yosef supported his father and his brothers during the famine? And again, again, we're talking about over here that he's holding on to his hair, so therefore it's clear that he means kilkul that has to do with hair. And a third one, if he says that I am obligating myself, so literally the shaleach means to send, and pera means a growth of hair. So hareza nazir, then we're saying that he's nazir. So the word l'shaleach, though, the Gemara is going to start with the understanding that it means to increase. L'shaleach pera then would mean to increase my growth of hair. Well, then, again, first of all, where do we see that the word shiluach refers to increasing? Because you have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, your shlochayich, your gardens where you grow peiros of pardes rimonim, are an orchard of pomegranates. So you see, in other words, that shlochayich, the place where you grow fruit, is pardes rimonim. Well, the problem is, maybe on the contrary, maybe the word l'shaleach means to remove. So maybe on the contrary, maybe it means that he plans, that he's making a promise that he will shave his hair when the time comes. But that doesn't in and of itself constitute a neder of nazirus. People can shave their hair for any number of reasons. Because you have a pasuk that says that Hashem sends out water to all the outlying areas. The Gemara mentions in Tainus that it means that Hashem sends rain to Eretz Yisrael, and all the other lands eventually benefit from it. So in other words, Hashem takes the water from one place to another. So maybe it means v'sheleach means to send away, to remove it. So maybe he means I'm going to remove my pera, I'm going to remove my growth of hair. So the answer is tana pera yalef. The answer is the Tana of the Mishnah is actually learning a zera shava on the word pera. Ksiv hocha kodesh ye gado pera, because by the nazir the expression is he will be holy, he has to grow his hair as pera. You have a pasuk in Yechezkel referring to the Kohen Hedyot and telling us some dinim about them. Now, of course, we know Yechezkel living long after the Torah was given. He's not making up new halachas. He's telling us in writing halachas that were up until then, halach l'Moshe Mesinai, and unwritten, and he's writing down a few of them for us, a few of the dinim of a Kohen's service in the Bais Hamikdash. And he uses the expression, they should not grow a pera. And we learn from that, in fact. So in fact, what we actually learn is, so first of all, the point is it used the word yishalechu over there, we actually learn the gzeirah shava in both directions, kind of. What we say is, since, as we're going to learn in a couple of blocks, the minimum term of nezirus is 30 days, from that we learn that a pera is defined as a growth of hair of 30 days. And because it says over here that since by the Kohen it says pera lo yishalechu, so we learn from that that when he says harei alai l'shaleach pera, then yes, it's going to mean to grow his hair. Tosfos actually says then that what it is really that when the Gemara says tana pera yalef, that he's learning the Zeh Shavu from the word pera, we're actually starting with the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. There's a Mishnah there that says that a Kohen Hedyot has to cut his hair once every 30 days, and we learn that from the Nazir. Once we've done that, once we've established what a pera is, then we can go back over here and establish that the word shiluach in connection with tera does not mean to remove it, because when Yechezkel says about the Kohenim, ofera lo yishalechu, he doesn't mean they shouldn't cut their hair, adrabi, he means they have to cut it every 30 days, they may not grow it, lo yishalechu, they may not let it grow more than 30 days, then therefore we learn from that over here also, when he says, harei alai l'shaleach tera, that he means that I'm going to grow my hair for a minimum of 30 days, which is nazirus. Which Tosfos goes on to say, in other words, that if we really it's not so much that we need a zeta shava from the word, it's not so much that we need a zeta shava from the word pera. The fact is, the word by the Koyanim themselves, we see that the word pera lo yishalechu means to not grow your hair. If the Gemara is just trying to establish over here that the word harei alai l'shaleach pera means to grow it, then we don't really need a zeta shava. Tosfos says fine, but if you didn't have the Gzeira Shava, then you wouldn't know how many days it is. Maybe any number of days growing your hair is considered Shiluach Pera. Once we learn the Gzeira Shava, that a Kohen Hediot has to cut his hair every 30 days, and we learn it from a Nazir, now in turn we understand that the Shalayach Pera means, in other words, that he means to accept on himself that I will grow my hair for a minimum of 30 days, that being the definition of Pera, and that means that he's accepting Nazirus on himself. Tosfos also adds one thing, by the way, another point. If you were to just say harei alai pera, then nothing would happen. Because the word pera, the shortish pera, can also mean to uncover. Ufora asrocha isha, by the sota, the Kohen uncovers the woman's head. So if he said harei alai pera, that would not constitute a neder of nizir. So he would have to say the shaleach pera in order for it to be valid. The shaleach means to grow. That's what we're saying. We're establishing that the word the shaleach means to grow. And the Gemara says, viboisema, another point you can say also, Hai Shaleach Maim Nami Ribuihu. You can say, you're asking from the word Shaleach Maim Ap Mechutzis, where it seems to imply removing, transferring the water from one place to another. So you're asking that the Shaleach Pera conceivably could mean that he'll remove his hair. No, in fact, Shaleach Maim Nami Shaleach Maim also, Ribuihu, also refers to growing fruit. To the Metagram of Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef translates it, we find all over Shas that Rabbi Yosef was an expert in the Targum. Dekad Mashkin Le Maya Lepera, that when you water the fruit, the Ravi, and it grows. So we see, in fact, the Shaleach Maim Al Pnei Chutzis actually means that Hashem causes the fruit to grow, that not just in Shalachayach Pardes Rimonim, but also in the Shaleach Maim Al Pnei Chutzis. The word Shaleach means to grow. Hashem sends rain, and the result of it is Shaleach, the result of it is that fruit, that fruit grows. Which, in other words, Tosfos says that both the Rosh and Tosfos say the Gemara is not saying we don't need the Gzeira Shava anymore. The fact is, without the Gzeira Shava, we still would have said that we still could have thought that the word l'shaleach pera means to cut his hair or to do something else. After all, we have many psukim where the shorash sholach clearly means to send away. The Gemara was just bothered by the fact is we seem to have a pasuk of l'shaleach mayim al pnei chutzis where instead of understanding it as growing, it seems to be understood as removing. So in that case, maybe shlochayef pardes rimonim would be related to that. After all, shlochayef would mean a field that is irrigated, a field that's watered. So then you'd say the same thing. It means that the water is removed from there. In fact, all over Shas, you have the concept called beis hasholchin, which is a field that needs to be irrigated because otherwise it's dry. So maybe forget. Maybe shlochayef means a place that's otherwise dry, that's moved of water. So then it would come out that you don't have a single pasuk that ever means where sholach ever means to grow. And so the Gemara is answering that no, on the contrary, the pasuk shaleach mayim can be understood to mean to grow. Once we have that, then yes, we can also understand shlochayef paris remonium to also refer to growing. And then in that case, then we have psukim that show that l'shaleach pera means to grow, and therefore we can say that when he made that neder, it means that he's going to grow it, and it means also by the koyanim, it means that they're not allowed to grow their hair more than a certain amount of time.
Right, so those fields you have to manually.
See, after those fields, you have to
work. That makes grow.
Right, exactly. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, by the way, there was a fascinating explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father. You have in his chidushim of Yoram Lashas and Teres Levi Yitzchak, you have a section on the Sefer Nazir. So he does have a few different explanations of various Gemaras in Nazir. One of them is he points out an interesting point over here. We just had three declarations that the person might say that all involve his hair. That in his wording, somehow he's mentioning his hair. Harini Masalsil, I'll curl my hair. Harini Machalto, I'll grow my hair. Or Harei Alai, Shaleach Kera, which means he said, I'll grow a growth of hair. With the first two of them, we said it means that he has to be holding on to his hair. And with the third one, we did not. And he points out there's other details as well. The first one, we had to bring a proof from a woman, from Amsa de Beirem. The second one, we brought a proof from Yosef. The third one, we're not bringing proofs from any people. So he has a long explanation of the Kabbalah about the deeper idea behind all of this. It's far too long and far too complicated to explain, but he explained that the first two have to do with Bina, and they have to do with Leah and Rachel, and therefore they're more associated with for the first one with a woman, Amsa Debei Rebbe, and the second one with Yosef, who's from Rachel, whereas the third one represents Das. He says the word Pera is the same letters as Oref, which means the back of the head, which is where we find in various places. Das is associated more with the back of the brain. That's why, for example, the knot of the tefillin is there. We have, for example, Parei Osius HaOref, that Parei was against Das of Dursha, and he's like the back of the neck, which is being stubborn and stiff-necked against Hashem. And so on and so forth. Another point he makes in connection with that, both the word mesalsal and mechalkel have within them the meaning of a keli. Because the word mesalsal, the basic shurdish is samach lamed, which means a basket. Sal is a basket. The basic meaning of the basic shurdish of kalkel, which we're repeating, is kol, which means all. So therefore, like you have in a certain sense, like the pnimiyas inyanim, and we're referring to kalim for bina, and then you have the third one about l'shaleach pera, which is associated with Das. You don't need him to be holding on to his hair, and you don't need you have proofs from Sukkim rather than from things that people did, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Next, the Mishnah had said Harei Alat Tziporin, that if a person says I obligate myself to bring birds, Rav Meir Oymen Nazir. So Rav Meir says that's enough to make him a Nazir. Because so we learned yesterday that a Nazir Tomei brings birds as part of his korban. Buffing, want to ask my time into the mayor, but still, why does your mayor say that? I mean, maybe he just means that he plans to bring birds as a voluntary carbon.
Bring from a positive, not from a negative.
Yeah. the answer is, Omer Shlokish. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. The first answer is, Omer Shlokish, Tziporin Smuchen Laseir Kibel Olam. What it means is actually that he accepted on himself, when he uses the word Tziporim, what he actually means is Tziporim that are in connection with hair. Where do we find the thing? Giftim. You have a pasuk by Nebuchadnezzar. You have the whole story over there where he had a dream about a tree that was chopped down and tied and then bound up with chains and so on and so forth. And stump is left, and he asks Daniel to interpret it. And Daniel tells him it means that you are too much of a Baal Gaiva. You think you run the world rather than the Eveshter. So therefore, you're going to become crazy. You're going to run away. You're going to live with the animals for several years, and you're going to be without be insane. Eventually, you'll realize that the Eveshter runs the world, and then you'll get your kingship back. That's why he said saw the stump there left of the tree, because you will regrow in your kingship. Anyway, the kitzur, it eventually happened. He went crazy. He ran off and lived among the animals in the forest. And the pasuk says he lived there so long, adisare kinishuin riva, until his hair grew as long as the feathers of eagles, v'tifrohi kitziporin, and his nails grew as long as the nails of the claws of birds. So we see, in other words, that you have a connection in that pasuk between his hair and tziporim. So therefore, the mayor says that when he's saying tziporim, so even if he just said tziporim stam, even that, the Shlokish holds that a person might have in mind tziporim that are in the pasuk in connection with hair. So what he would mean is, to be exact, he would mean a mitzvah that has to do... Now, the fact is, Tosfos and the Rosh both say, it's not just the fact that the word Tziporim and the word hair come together in the pasuk. Otherwise, the Mishnah could have also said, for example, that if he mentions nails, or if he mentions eagles, because after all, those are closer to hair in the pasuk. The order of the nouns in the pasuk is hair, eagles, nails, and birds. So eagles and nails are closer to birds, and yet we don't find in the Mishnah that he says Harei Alai Nishrin or Harei Alai Tifroi, which is the Aramaic word for fingernails, that he should become a Nazir. Only we're saying hair. That's the point. In other words, so that's the point. It's not just the fact that the word is adjacent in the pasuk to birds. It's the fact that we're talking about a mitzvah that has to do with hair and which is mentioned in the same pasuk as birds. So Meir is taking the view then that if a person says tziporim, then he has in mind a mitzvah that has to do with a person can be matis, a person can use in his loshim when he makes a neder something that's near it in the pasuk. So when he says Harei Alai Tziporim, we understand that it means that he plans to accept something on himself that involves also hair, because you have both hair and tziporim in the pasuk, and where there are, after all, tziporim involved, because if he's going to become tameh, he's going to need tziporim. So therefore, Resh Lakish would hold that would be enough for that to constitute a neder of Nazirus according to the Meir.
That's a negative. Only becomes tummy.
Only if it becomes tummy. But still, the point is that there are birds involved. But Rabbanan and Sabri was the Chachamim hold lois mitbisinish b'midi to samachle. The Chachamim hold a person is not going to be machlis. A person is not going to take himself a neder when just because we're talking about that it's one next to the other in the pasuk. So according to them, in other words, he still has to accept the neder of Nazirus using an appropriate word. But since in other words, this is not a normal way of talking, to say tziporim and have in mind hair, which is also mentioned in that pasuk, and therefore I mean a neder that involves hair and involves tziporim, the Chacham say that's going a little too far. We can't say that he had that in mind, and even if he says he had it in mind, again, you still need pivul libeshav. Okay, so the Gemara asks still. Before the Gemara asks. Okay, so that's one answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Dekula Amalei Matis. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Everybody would agree. Even Rabbi Meir is not going to say that a person is matis in that way, where he says the word siparim, and really he's thinking of the word seyer, which is earlier in the pasuk. Ela, I knew time that Rabbi Meir. Rather, the reason why Rabbi Meir says that he's chayev to become a nazir, the chayshin and shemet supported nazir tome kibul olav. We have to be concerned that maybe, in fact, he meant to accept on himself the fact that when he's a nazir tome, he will have to bring birds. So, in other words, he may be accepting on himself a neder of nazirus. That the result of it is, if he becomes tome, then he will be bringing birds as a curve. Okay, but if all we're saying is that we're concerned about it, so why is he a nazir? Dumat Sipur in a Java kibbul olav. Maybe he only accepted on himself that he's going to bring birds that are Nadava, just two voluntary birds as a carbon. Who says he's accepting on himself Nazirus at all? And the answer is in Cain, Harei Alai Cain, by the way. Fine, but in that case, he wouldn't have used the expression Harei Alai Tziporim. He would have used the expression Harei Alai Cain. A Cain literally means a nest. But we have, that's the common term when people are bringing voluntary korbanos of birds, especially when they're bringing birds as an oila. By definition, if you bring a korban voluntarily, it's gotta be a bird, it's gotta be an oila, because a chatas you can't bring voluntarily. And when people bring a pair of birds like that for an oila, they call it a cane, they call it a nest. In fact, Masechta Kinim is so named because it talks about various cases involving birds for korbanos that got mixed up. That definitely packed a punch, yeah. Anyway, so we can't say that he meant support in a Nadava, because then he would have used the expression Cain. In fact, you also have, actually, in the Bis Mikdash, it says in Masechta Shkolim, we learned it most recently at the end of Ksuvos, they had 13 boxes arranged, 13 pushkas arranged in a circle for different purposes that people were menadev korbanos and other things, and Machzah Shekel and whatever, and one of them was labeled Kinim, and in fact, they used the money in that to buy birds for korbanos for people who dropped off money in the box. So we see that the word cane was the common word for a pair of birds that are brought as a carbon. The Gemara asks, "V'duma harei alai tziporim mitzora kamar." Fine, but still, maybe he means that I'm accepting on myself to bring the birds of a mitzora. So maybe in other words, so he's saying, you know, somewhere in the world there's bound to be a mitzvah who can't afford his korbanos. He's too poor even to afford birds. A mitzvah at the end of his tzaras brings, if he's rich, he brings three animals as a korban. If he's poor, he brings one animal and two birds. So maybe the person is accepting on himself, how do I like to quote him? I will bring on behalf of a mitzvah, some mitzvah out there, I'll find a mitzvah and bring the two birds on his behalf. And again, we wouldn't call that king necessarily, because there it's an oila and a chathas. Cain, we said before, is usually used only when you have two oilas. So, and Tosfos adds that even if there's no mitzvah walking in front of him, fine, there's gotta be some mitzvah out there who needs to bring birds, and the fact is birds have more of a connection to the mitzvah. Even the first process of the mitzvah becoming tahor, the first stage of it, the beginning of Parshas mitzvah, involves two birds, water, and so forth. So like, so birds have more of a connection to a mitzvah than they do to a nazir, where after all, a nazir is gonna be bringing birds only if he became tahor. Whereas a mitzvah is,
and it's poor. Oh, no.
A mitzvah, a mitzvah, so a mitzvah, in other words, is more likely to bring birds because if he's poor, and many people were in those times, then he's going to be bringing birds. Whereas a nazir, it's only in the rare case that it becomes tamei that he's going to be bringing birds. So again, the question is, so maybe when he says, Harei Alei Tzipporim, he needs Tzipporim mitzvah. And again, the answer is, going to carry a nazir over the fun of, we're talking about a nazir was walking in front of him. So therefore, now it's clear now let's say the person who made the neder knows that the person walking in front of him is in fact a nazir tahor. So he knows that that person does not. So he knows that that person is not going to be bringing birds. Well, I skipped a line. So the answer is to enter a nazir over the fun of the cases he has a nazir walking in front of him. So obviously he means Nazirus rather than Saras. So if Mara asks, Dilma Nazir Tomei, okay, but maybe that Nazir is Tomei, or the Proterim in Korban Nosir Tomei. So he means that I'm going to give him a break, I'm going to give him birds for his Korban, again, because a Nazir Tomei brings two birds plus an animal. And the answer is, going to try a Nazir Tahor over the front of. The case would be that a Nazir Tahor was walking in front of him. So he knows for a fact that this person walking in front of him is a Nazir Tahor, therefore there's no birds for him to bring. So obviously, therefore, he can't say, I promise that I will bring his birds on his behalf. What birds? He may never bring birds. So therefore, obviously, he means that he's going to work. So the mayor is saying that we have to be choshesh that maybe he meant to accept Nizirus on himself. Taking all of that together with Tzipporim. And so now, Rabbi Yochanan is not mentioning the point that Rish Lakish was saying as far as the pasuk. He's just saying the fact that he said Tzipporim, which itself is part of the process of Nazirus, and there's a Nazir walking in front of him, Rabbi Meir says there's reason enough to be concerned that maybe he accepted on himself that I will become a Nazir, and if I become Tomei, then I will be bringing birds. So Rabbi Meir would hold, that's enough to make him a Nazir, and the Chachamim would not hold that. The Rosh has a bit of a discussion over here where he learns somewhat differently. When the Gemara started by saying Chashin and Shemet Tzipporim Nazir, or we said Chashin and the question is, I mean, okay, Chashin and we have a Chashash, but it's Dover Shokul. It seems to be a 50-50 chance whether he means that or not. So how can we make him a Nazir? How can we make him a Nazir? Didn't we say before Suffolk Nazirus Lahakol? So he says no. What the Gemara is asking like this: if we have reason to think that maybe he accepted on himself that he's going to bring support in a dava, then he should have to bring both as a suffix. He should have to bring the dava as a suffix as well as maybe become a nazir to be on the safe side. So then the Gemara is answering that no, because he for sure didn't mean the dava because then he would have said the word king. And then the Gemara goes on and says that when we say it's not a matter of a suffix, again, a person can't be a nazir from a suffix, but once we've gone through this whole thing, that the nazir tahor over the fun of, that then necessarily he must mean something that he's saying, that if I become tamei, I will have to bring birds, and therefore it's not a suffix anymore, therefore we can say it's more of a vada. So the Gemara asks, my benayu. Okay, so we have Rish Lakish's explanation that he's referring to the pasuk, and we have Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that a nazir is going in front of him. So the Gemara my denial, what's the practical difference between the two explanations? The answer is, what if he explicitly said, I am accepting on myself birds that are mentioned in the pasuk in connection with hair? According to Rav Yechanan, even though he said that, and we have every reason to think that that he means the pasuk, where that he means to become nazirus, e nazir over the front of ain, still only if a nazir is walking in front of him, yes, he becomes a nazir, the eloi loy, and if not, then not. Or the Rav Shimon ben Lakish, who has appointed Rish Lakish, we would say that no, even if a nazir is not walking in front of him, in other words, he was saying Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing, does a person have the smichos in mind? But here, where so if he only says tipparim, does he have that smichos in mind or not? Rav Meir says yes, the Chacham say no. But if he clearly states that he has that smichos in mind, then Rish Lakish is saying even the Chachamim would hold that he would be a nazir in that case. Whereas Rav Yechanan would hold that not. Even that is not enough. It's not a matter of being machbis, because a person can't be machbis with that kind of thing. It rather requires that a nazir is going in front of him, and as we said, that it's a nazir tahor.
Another
Tahor, because otherwise it could mean that he's accepting on himself that he's going to help the guy with the expenses of bringing the birds as a carbon.
Yeah,
but still, so there's still has to be a declaration that he says Nazir, so not.
The same words would be a declaration for positive if he was Tahor, but if he's Tamei, then...
Well, because it's all part of a package deal. If he becomes a Nazir, part of that is that if he becomes Tamei, he's bringing birds. So therefore, like he's saying birds, in other words, in a sense, you know, I'm taking on a Neder that the result of it can end up being that I'm going to bring birds. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, okay. Now, so what do we say? We said that according to the Shlokish, we're saying that Reb Meir and the Chachamim are arguing whether a person is machbis b'midi to somoch lei in something that's adjacent to it in the pasuk. And according to Reb Yechanan, everybody agrees that not. So the Gemara asks, mi ikka l'manda omer lei machbis inish b'milsa to somoch lei? Is there really such an opinion that a person is not going to be machbis in something that's nearer than a pasuk? I can give you an example to the contrary. V'hatani, we learn in a b'raisa, ha'imer yamin harezer shvur. If a person says yamin, the right hand, then that constitutes a shvur. So in other words, let's say, we know if a person says a shvur that I won't eat this bread, and he eats it, he's chayav malchus. So now the braisa is telling us that by the same token, if a person says the right hand, I won't eat this bread, then that also constitutes a shvur. That's what Gemara is going to ask. My timer, so why should that be? Lav mishum dichtiv, isn't it because you have a pasuk that mentions the right hand in connection with a shvur? Dichtiv, you have another pasuk from Daniel at the end of the sefer after the Hashem sent a malach to tell Daniel all about what's going to happen during the whole time of Golos and when Mashiach is going to come, and then Hashem tells him conceal it and write it in a very obscure way in your sefer so nobody's going to understand. So then Daniel asks, I must say kate applies. How long is this hidden ketz going to be hidden? When is Mashiach already going to come? And the pasuk says, "Vayorim yiminu smoyle al shemayim," that the Eved, so to speak, lifted up his right hand, and his left hand, or actually the Malach lifted up his right hand and his left hand to the heaven. Vayishava b'chei ha'olam, and he swore by Hashem, the life of the world, that there is a defined time when Mashiach is going to come, and he won't delay past that. Anyway, the point is, so the word yamin is in connection with shvur, so therefore, so that shows that a person would be machbis in something that's near it in the pasuk. So why are we saying when it comes to tziporim that there's this machloikas according to Rish Lakish, whether a person is machbis with something else in the same pasuk, or according to Rav Yechanan, and everybody would say that you don't. So the answer is Amri. The answer is Loi. No, that's not it. The reason is Mishum Yamin Gufei Ikri Shvur. The word Yamin itself constitutes a Shvur. Ditanya, as we learn in a Brice, Minayim La'omi Yamin Shei Shvur, Shenema Nishba Hashem B'Yiminoi. The Pasuk says Hashem swore with his right hand, or B'Yiminoi can actually mean with the word Yamin. So the word Yamin itself, now the truth, yeah, of course, because a person usually raises his hand when he's swearing. But the point is, we see that Nishba Hashem B'Yiminoi, that Hashem is swearing with his Yamin, with the word Yamin. So it's not just a matter of being machlis, the word Yamin itself is a synonym for Shavua. And how do we know that, and how do we know that the word smol also, what if we were to say smol, that I won't eat this loaf of bread? How do we know that also constitutes a shvur? Shenema uzroya uzo. The same pulse that continues that Hashem swore with the arm of his power. So first of all, one explanation is, in other words, that since it says yamin, then obviously the other arm by implication must be the left. The other point is the word oiz refers to tefillin. So therefore, bizroya uzay means the hand on which Hashem kavyachol wears tefillin, and therefore means that Hashem is also swearing with his left hand kavyachol as well.
Is there a
pasuk oiz b'sifaris for mikdash? Yeah. But we have it in Kabbal Shabbos. But that's not directly related to that now. But the point is that we see that the word yamin and the word smol, it's not just that they're associated with a shvuah in the pasuk. We see that they themselves actually constitute a word of a shvuah. So that doesn't show that a person might be matfis. So it's one thing for a person to say yamin or smol, which means a shvuah. It's another thing for a person to say tziporim, which in the pasuk, it's in connection with hair, and therefore you're going to make that connection according to the Shlokish's understanding of Rameo, yes, and the Chachamim, no, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, not according to either one of them.
Because all over Shas, you see that the people they learn out when it's the same pasuk.
But we have to remember we're talking Loshim Le'adam, but the Dorim Halachah Loshim Le'adam. So the question is whether for Loshim Le'adam is going to do that kind of thing, and the answer is we don't really have a proof one way or the other, because the fact that we're learning about Yamin and Smol doesn't necessarily show. Yamin and Smol themselves are an expression of Shavua. That doesn't necessarily follow from that the same thing would apply to other words which don't themselves constitute a Shavua. We're just saying that they're kind of in connection with it. So there is a discussion among the postkin, by the way, when the person says Yamin, does he need to use a name of Hashem or a kinui of Hashem in connection with it? Tosfos says that not. Just the word Yamin itself constitutes a shvur. The Rambam says the same thing. The Bach actually learns the Rambam to be saying that the same way as a person says a shvur, really it's not enough. We'll learn Masechta Shvuos a couple of years from now, Bas Hashem. Just saying a shvur that I will or won't do such and such is not really enough. There needs to be a shame of Hashem, or there needs to be a kinui involved. So it would be also over here with Yamin and Smol. There would have to be that he says Yamin of Hashem or something like that, or in order for it to be a valid shvur. A neder, we said, doesn't necessarily require Hashem's name, but a shvur but a shvur does.
Someone doesn't think that we shouldn't use Hashem's name because it might.
Right, but the fact is, a shvur, just to say shvur itself doesn't necessarily constitute. It might be a yad, it might work as a yad, but not as a full fledged shvur. Okay.
Maybe just recently just learned that.